This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
53 years ago today, Abbey Road was released. 53 years ago, Abbey Road was released. One of the, I don't know, this might be the best Beatles album. I don't know. My particular favorite is the White album. Now, Beatle Red, Beatle Blue, those were greatest hits. Beatle White was not. Beatle White was its own thing. And that's my favorite. That's a weird Beatles album, though. Probably because my favorite Beatles song is Rocky Raccoon. Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
I love Rocky Raccoon.
Okay.
It's okay. It's a cute little, funky little Western story, isn't it? But, man, Abbey Road is legendary. Anyway, Roddy Jones is going to join us in just a couple of minutes. ACC network analyst, ESPN college football analyst, and a Georgia Tech grad as well. Anyway, we're actually going to move Roddy back, so we can absolutely do that. All right, so here's a question for all of you State fans. What's the vibe? What's the vibe for you right now as we sit here 6 days away, five days away now from game time? Because I said yesterday that with everything that is about this week, that it's sort of, to me, it's a, I mean, it's like a, almost like a Super Bowl. This is going to be the longest week. This is going to be the longest week for a long time for NC State fans. And that's just true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to take forever. So I'm curious, what's your vibe for this game? What are you doing to distract yourself from the fact that it's just Tuesday? Because when, this is not some, this is a little new to State. That's the thing that, I'm not saying it worries me about the game, because Clemson is used to playing in these games.
Yeah.
They are used to playing, whether it's an ACC championship game, which, to be perfectly honest, those are big games, but in most cases, they have been heavily favored. And it's not, they're not a heavy favorite in this game. I mean, I'll bet you can count on one hand the ACC games in which Clemson was favored by less than a touchdown. And that last look, Clemson was just a 6.5-point favorite. That's it. 6.5 points. Dave Doran, NC State's head coach, had his media session yesterday, and he will join the program on Thursday in advance of heading down. And again, we have a lot of weather things to hope work out in the area's favor. Forget about the game. The games are always secondary to, you know, property destruction and personal issues that come about with these types of storms. But all things clear, we're going to talk to him Thursday in advance of this game, and this is as big a game as they have ever played. Here's Dave Doran.
It's for our university and our alumni, and it's great. You know, we've worked really hard to move ourselves up in the national footprint of this sport. It's taken a lot of time, blood, sweat, and tears, and commitment from a lot of people. So, you know, I know that it's not a stationary spot either. You go up or down based on your performance, but you still have to get to that spot, and we've worked hard to get there. We're going to embrace the opportunity of being there, and we know a lot comes with it. So, you know, I think it's something to celebrate for sure. It's not something to say we've arrived yet, because obviously the rankings at the end matter than a lot more than they do after the fourth week.
I'd be curious if you asked State fans, not even State fans, if you asked like people who have played football at NC State, can you recall an opportunity like this? I kind of made reference to a similar one at in yesterday's program, in that I don't know how many years ago it was now. Tom O'Brien was the head coach, so we're going back a ways. But NC State got to the last game of the season. You beat Maryland. You win the Atlantic Division. It was obviously before the Clemson run, which began, I think, what, in 2012?
Somewhere around there. It was about 10 years ago.
Run of dominance in the Atlantic until last year. So that was the last time that State did not win that game. They lost at Maryland. But that State team wasn't as good as this State team. It's not something I'm worried about. Clemson is used to these games. NC State is not. And for a fan base that allows negative thoughts to creep in too easily, this is going to be an incredibly long, long week. Like, to the point where you'd like to distract yourself from everything so you could just go about the business of this week.
Go to the Canes game tonight. That'll get your mind off it for a little bit.
Right.
Just go to the Canes game.
So, again, I'm just curious about a vibe check as we get closer to this game. I know there are nerves. I know there is you hope that your team's offense catches up to its defense. All right, Dennis, you and I have not had a chance to speak because you have this senior producer role now and I can't talk.
Yeah, I'm doing a lot of different things.
I'm not allowed to talk to you anymore. So,
yeah, it's forbidden.
Am I crazy to think that North Carolina just didn't look like they were equipped to handle anything that Notre Dame did?
No, you're not wrong. I was on the sidelines during that game.
Didn't it look like Carolina was playing up in class? Sort of like when, and I don't even know if I have the weight classes correct, but like when a lightweight fights a middleweight, or a middleweight, actually it's better to go the other way. It's when we have this top, like, middleweight boxer who can put on 20 more pounds and get to a heavy, or a light heavyweight who I can put on another 15 pounds and fight a heavyweight, and then you realize, oh my gosh, there is such a massive difference between the light heavyweight and the heavyweight. That's what it looked like to me.
Yeah.
That North Carolina just wasn't it, like, big boy football in them.
Yeah. Their defense got worn out eventually because they couldn't get off the field on third down. And like you said, the big guys up front for Notre Dame just continued to wear down both fronts for that team. And what really hurt them was, in my opinion, was the start of the third quarter when they give up a touchdown, and then one play, they fumble the ball right back to them, and then Notre Dame goes down and scores again. I know there's the pass interference call, or was it not? I'm not getting into that, but still.
They called it.
Yeah, they called it. And, right. But still, they were in that situation when played about 20 snaps and the offense played one. But that was just being worn down. You mentioned number 7, the big dude. I think he's listed at like 5'11", 225, 230, something like that. Yeah. That dude's a monster. See, I was down there field level. I was like, that dude's bigger than any linebacker Carolina has.
That's what struck me. I'm like, wait a second. Does number 7 a defensive tackle, or is he a running back? And that's the difference. Mm-hmm. And this is why, it's not about Notre Dame. North Carolina, UNC can be really good in their weight class.
Yeah.
Right? So, which is why, I watched the Clemson-Wake Forest game. I want to say something real quick about Wake Forest in a second. I don't know that North Carolina is equipped to beat either of those two teams. Maybe better against, slightly better against Wake. Slightly. I know they won the game last year, right? Slightly better against Wake, but I just don't think they're equipped to beat Clemson if that ended up being a matchup, because Clemson, at least on the defensive line, Clemson's offensive line isn't quite what Notre Dame's is, but on the defensive line, Clemson just got, they've got dudes.
Yeah.
And North Carolina doesn't have dudes. They have some really nice football players. A lot of four stars. And it's time to develop these guys. I said it yesterday. I already said it once today. This is not about recruiting. It's not about that. It's about developing. Carolina's got to get better at developing.
I will point this out. I know we got to go to break. I'll point this out real fast. There are multiple times I noticed defensively for UNC that they were trying to scramble to get into the right alignment depending on the formation. Like, they're scrambling pre-snap, it felt like. Guys trying to, like, wait, I thought we were in this, thought we were in that. Guys moving each other around. Mm-hmm. I know there's sometimes you got to slide and adjust, but it seemed like it was just they were rushing just to get aligned. And I don't know if that's stuff being translated from the sideline and the coaching staff to the players on the field. I don't know where that comes in, but it felt like that at moments for their defense.
Like the Denver Broncos offensively in the opener against Seattle, right?
Yep.
We're like, wait a second, why is the play clock at 2 again?
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like it was always at 2. And I remember we used to talk to John Bunting every Monday. Like, this goes back a long time. When Bunting was the head coach at North Carolina, we would talk to John Bunting every Monday right out of the gate during the football season. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time I had ever heard a head coach saying we couldn't get lined up right.
Yeah.
And all I could think of was, A, do you practice? And B, it's really amazing to admit that in public, that we couldn't get lined up right. So I wonder if some of that is going on.
Yeah. First two things they teach you in defense football, alignment and assignment. I guarantee you hear that all the time. All right, are you aligned properly and what's your assignment?
I know you're a senior producer now, Dennis, but are you available to help out over there?
I could.
Okay.
Bring a five-man front, whatever.
Do they need a five? They need an eight, a 12-man front.
I mean like a five. Like five down line.
I see.
Five on the line.
Yes. Well, I knew what you were talking about. They need to be able to stop the run, but then again, they don't cover very well in the secondary, as App proved in that game as well.
No, that didn't seem right.
Is it?
Yeah, maybe you are right. I don't know.
I was born in 66.
Okay.
So.
Got it.
I'm hoping 53 is the right number there.
I was trying to do fast this to math me. In my head. I was like,
you
wait a
did
second.
You think it was less or more?
I don't know. I don't know.
Are you kidding?
my brain already has been, it's not even 1 o'clock. My brain is already spent, and I got to be on the radio until 6 o'clock today just because I'm filling in for V to the Actoria, but I still have to do
the
afternoon show, and I got to do this all again tomorrow.
You got a lot.
Yeah, so it's all right. I'll make it through.
All right, the Dallas Cowboys beat the New York Giants last night, or beat the New Jersey Giants last night. Yes, no. Hearty applause. I think they're a good football team. I've not said anything other than that about Dallas.
Did they stop and get donuts?
Where was the donut shop? I think I got rid of the donuts in the document.
You got rid of the donut list?
It was a long list of donuts. I got list.
What was I going to do? 30 locations
what
of donuts.
What was I going to do with it? Anyway, we're
going to
have this conversation later. So this is what I've said about the Cowboys. And, I wish I could remember my opinion of where they'd be knowing that Dak Prescott was going to be out for really 4 weeks. As it turns out, it might just be two, but I would argue that Dak should sit tight and let Cooper Rush play for at least one more game, maybe two. Make sure when you come back 100%. Don't force it when you don't have to. I wish I remembered. My thinking is that Dallas's defense was probably good enough to win them a couple of games. And I think when we talk about the Cowboys, we never start there. We always start with Dak and Zeke and CeeDee Lamb and the weapons on offense that they no longer have. But Dallas's defense is legitimately good enough.
Yeah.
Between Micah Parsons and Trayvon Diggs. Mm-hmm. They have two of the best defensive players at their positions in the entire sport. I've already heard some people say that Micah Parsons might be the best defensive player in the NFL. I'm not endorsing that or what, but if you're in the conversation, we could just, that's good enough.
Top three with him, Aaron Donald, T.J. Watt.
Okay.
There you go.
T.J. has T.J. Watt, by the way.
He's getting better.
Is he getting better? Getting better. Was it a torn pectoral?
It was.
A torn pectoral, and he's coming back in?
It's 6 weeks.
How do you? I thought torn pectorals were like a whole year. They used to be.
He's a monster.
They don't. They. he is. He's a cyborg. All right, so Dallas is good. What I'm saying, though, about the Cowboys is last night, the fact that they beat the Giants, I'm just not all that bent out of shape over it because I don't think the Giants are very good. That doesn't mean I don't think the Cowboys are good. So somebody on Twitter, well, you're so up on the Eagles. How have they played? Can't argue. They did play the Vikings, who I think are good. But they played them in Philadelphia on a Monday night, which means that Minnesota is automatically going to stink because Kirk Cousins on Monday night is atrocious. Kirk Cousins on Monday night is 2-11, and the two wins are both against the Bears, which barely count, to be honest. So at this stage of the game, this is why, like, when somebody says, well, is MVP favorite, like, whoa. We've played three times. We can't completely lose our minds. What's real about the Cowboys is their defense. What's real about the Cowboys is the fact that against a team like the Giants, they can run, as long as they stay close, they can continue to run the ball because their defense will never allow a team like the Giants to get too far out in front. Because the Giants aren't good. If you're still having the conversation about Daniel Jones, is Daniel Jones the guy? Because I hear it every morning on ESPN. Mm-hmm. I hear it every afternoon if I'm watching or listening to people talk football. Look, we know the answer. Daniel Jones is a career backup quarterback who happens to be the starter.
Yeah.
He's going to have a long career as a backup. Not unlike Mitch Trubisky, is a backup quarterback who, for the time being, is a starter. Mm-hmm. It should not be a denigration of somebody to call them a backup quarterback in the NFL. It's a league that starts a lot of backup quarterbacks, if you're paying attention right now. You know, scoring is down by a touchdown a game in the NFL?
Yeah.
Through 3 weeks?
Some really low-scoring games this past weekend.
Yes, we had an 11-10 game in which one of the quarterbacks, a backup maybe, Jimmy Garoppolo, dropped back out of the end zone. Mm-hmm. So
the other starting quarterback was Russell Wilson.
And Wilson isn't great either right now. So the quarterbacking is not great in the league. But also, if you went down, and I can just use my own fantasy team. I hate talking about it because nobody cares, and I don't really care about my own fantasy team. But half of my team is questionable every week. Half of it. I have Dalvin Cook. He might not play this week. I have Julio Jones. He might not play again this week. I have George Kittle. He missed the first 2 weeks, and he was barely part of what the San Francisco 49ers did this past week. Who else do I have? Like, half of my team's got a Q.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad it just means questionable. So that's the thing about right now, what we're dealing with right now. And you had Mike Evans, by the way, for the Buccaneers, who was suspended. Packer wide receiver. There's so many injuries to key position players, key skill position players, that it's hurting offense right now in the league. There's very few teams that are scoring a ton of points. Like, very few teams like the Ravens, or to an extent the Dolphins, that are really dynamic offensively. The Bills obviously are. The Chiefs stunk this past week. So I don't know that defenses are ahead of offenses as much as offenses are hampered by injury, and there really aren't that many really good quarterbacks, which is a bigger problem for the NFL, and it's one that's probably not going to get better anytime soon. There's too many guys that just look like backups.
This is the Adam Gold Show.